You're listening to The Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select, with Benjamin Hockman, Derek Gould, and Ben Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Oh yeah!
Woo! Welcome back into the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select. Gonna head out now on the phone lines to bring in friend of the program, Dave Matter. He covers Mizzou sports for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, colleague of ours. You follow him on Twitter at Dave_Matter. One of the most one of the most popular guests on our show, one of the most regular guests on our show. Mm-hmm. He was devastated when I told him the news that the show was gonna be off the air next week. So I guess we have two questions to start out here, Dave. The first one being, which 90210 character would best be described as our show? And then we also want to ask you which 90210 character would be best described as Missouri basketball.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, there's a few players who, or a few guys who basically got kicked off the show and essentially didn't last very long. Maybe that's, and I'm not saying that's you. I don't know if
it's us.
No, that's us. That's 100% us.
Or is that the team? I don't know. I'm just going to go with Steve Sanders, and really for no reason other than he's got awesome hair.
Oh,
and,
nice. Thanks.
And he was one of the great characters in TV history.
How did it end for Dylan McKay?
He ended up with Kelly Taylor. They laid left the wedding scene at the end of the last episode for David Silver and Donna Martin, and they were an item. They were together finally.
Did Donna graduate? Donna Martin marries.
Oh, she graduated.
Okay, I just want to
make sure.
She went
to college.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And then married her high school sweetheart.
I thought somebody died in a crash. That happened on that show?
There were a few deaths, but Dylan's dad blew up. He was but it turns out he was an informant with the FBI and didn't really blow up.
Oh, my God. The only thing Dave knows more about than Missouri sports is 90210. Dave, Mizzou basketball takes on the chin last night. It was a hard-fought game, 93-54 against Florida. The good news is that Florida's
glass
ranked
jaw.
Florida's ranked 24th in the poll. So I mean, obviously we're a top team in the country here. Now it's what is the loss? I believe it's 10 straight losses for Mizzou. Have not won a conference game. 0-9. I'm guessing if Kim Anderson can make it through this Florida loss and the week after, that he's going to make it through the end of the season, correct?
I mean, at this point, what's the point of changing things now? I mean, I guess you could say, hey, this is enough. We're just going to let him go because, or maybe he steps down because, you know, there's no upside to keeping him. But I don't really see the upside logistically to, you know, firing him either or having him step down. I mean, The scary part is they're only halfway through the conference season. I mean, they still got 9 games to go. Last night they tied the record for consecutive losses at 13, which ties the team from 2 years ago. You know, they've got a game Saturday. It's going to be an emotional day. It's the Rally for Ryan game where they did play really well in that game last year and beat Tennessee. But, man, last night was the first time, and I wasn't in game, but I watched it on TV. That's the first time I say you can really question the effort of this team. The other games, they played hard. They just weren't good enough. Last night, they seemed to kind of wave the white flag pretty early in that one.
Dave, I didn't see the game because I was watching hockey. Can you describe, did I read this right, that they didn't even go after the tip-off?
That's what Kim said. I missed that exact moment, but he said it, you know, kind of, I just saw the quote that he gave Mark Stringer, who covered the game, and someone else. That doesn't surprise me. I mean, this team, it's not always about a question of effort. It's just awareness sometimes. I don't know. Maybe they weren't paying attention. Who knows?
Do you agree with Seth Davis that Missouri might be the worst power conference team he's ever seen? Is that a reach?
I mean, there's some pretty awful teams out there. I mean, you know, Texas A&M 1 year went winless in conference play when Melvin Watkins was the coach there. Right now, statistically, if you look at all the advanced metrics, Oregon State is worse than Missouri.
Yeah, take that!
So, you know, I think they're probably on the short list. And it's not what they're doing in the SEC necessarily. It's those three losses to Lipscomb, who's only like two games over 500, Eastern Illinois, which I think is under 500, and then North Carolina Central. So those are the losses that will always forever drag this team down and you know, put this place in its in wherever historically it's going to fall.
Yeah, it's going to be funny when the season ends and they ask North Carolina Central their biggest win, and it's a different team that they had beaten. It's not the Mizzou game. Like, that one was good, but we also beat some other team that ranked higher than Mizzou in the RPI. Here's a question, and I guess I'm putting you on the spot, so I apologize in advance, but the best player of Mizzou, where would he be in Kansas's rotation right now?
You know, I guess it's Kevin Puryear. I mean, some nights it's him, some nights it's Terrence Phillips. I think those guys could be a solid rotation player on any good team. I don't think Terrence Phillips is a starting point guard on a great team. I think Puryear could be a starting small forward on a really good team that had really good scores at the other positions. He's not a guy you can rely on to score 20 points a night, but he's a solid player. I mean, he's not good enough to lift this team to being much better than it is. But he'd be serviceable somewhere else.
Yeah. I want to switch the attention to football, Dave. Barry Odom's signing class in the books. What do you make of the haul? I know there were some obstacles that he had to overcome in terms of some flips, especially when it comes to his wide receivers. What do you think of where things settled in?
You know, I never hyperventilate too much about recruiting rankings. Missouri was consistently at the bottom of the SEC, and they're around the 40s nationally. You know, if you look at those numbers, though, like, I always think, like, between, like, 35 and 55, you're really splitting hairs because how they determine those things. One or two players can shift you way up or way down. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a little bit lower perception-wise than what Missouri has, you know, on average signed over the years. You know, they didn't do well in the state. There weren't many players in the state to sign, for one, but they only got one out of Kansas City. And that's probably worse off just for a PR perception-wise than it is actual on-the-field results, because there's a handful of players that they did sign from out of state who probably would have been the best player in Missouri at their respective position. So I think they did well with some out-of-state guys, a few late flyers that they took on some players that might help out. You know, they really loaded up with defensive linemen. That's what they need. They've got four from the junior colleges that I think will come in right away and compete for jobs. So they address some needs. It's just not a very flashy class.
Hey, Dave, we saw that there's going to be a second Coach Odom at Mizzou. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, Barry hired his younger brother, Brian, who was at Washington State the last couple of years, and he's going to be their new outside linebackers coach. They had a vacancy on their staff when the cornerbacks coach left for Auburn, so they're going to reshuffle things around. He had a few different options. He could have moved. He could have moved Cornell Ford from running backs back to cornerbacks and then hired a running backs coach. He could have hired a cornerbacks coach just to replace the guy that left. Instead, their safeties coach is going to coach the entire secondary, and then Damani Cross and now Brian Odom on staff. Who played football at Oklahoma for a couple years, and then he was a running back and moved on to a smaller division school in Oklahoma. He's been a strength coach for most of his career, but he's coached on defense the last couple years at Washington State. He and Damani Cross will split the linebacker duties, essentially, and I think he's going to coach some special teams too. So it's, you know, not a kind of like the recruiting class, not a big flashy hire, but somebody that Barry obviously knows and trusts, and I think he'll be a really intense coach, just like his older brother.
Hey, Dave, one final question here for you. There was a lot made here locally about Lovie Smith's recruiting, his success and his wins with some St. Louis guys. How do you view Lovie as a threat to some guys Mizzou was interested in, and do you see that becoming a bigger and bigger issue the more if Illinois is able to get off the ground a little bit here with him?
You know, Missouri and Illinois classes, it depends on which site you look at. Their classes were pretty similar. They actually tied for number 48 nationally by, I think, Rivals. So their class wasn't necessarily that much better than Missouri's. They did get two kids out of St. Louis that a lot of people thought could end up at Missouri. But if you look at the kids that they went head-to-head on nationally, I think they both offered 10 players who ended up at one school or the other. Missouri got 6, and Illinois got 4. So I think it's a little overblown that he killed recruiting. He did in St. Louis by getting two guys, and he got the linebacker from East St. Louis in Missouri, didn't offer and didn't really recruit very much. I think, is he a threat? I think you got to win. If they go out this year and get to a bowl game and Missouri continues to struggle a little bit, yeah, then I think he's a threat. But if Illinois goes 4-8 again, he's not going to be a threat because kids aren't going to want to go there, just like they haven't really wanted to go there for the last 10 years or so. I mean, they weren't a threat to Gary Finkel when he was doing really good things at Missouri because Illinois was struggling so bad and they were 0-6 against Finkel. So I think it all depends on how they do this year and if they become sort of, if not, I would like it to be kind of more of a rivalry. I think it's good for the area. It's good for the state. If both of these teams are doing well and both kind of going head to head on some recruits, but I think both programs have to win some more games for that to happen.
I think the one thing to point and keep in mind is that what Butch Jones said, everyone gets into the whole 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star thing. The only 5-star that we ever concern ourselves with is a 5-star heart. Wait, what?
I remember that.
That's what you expect from the life champions down there. Knoxville.
Champions of life.
Champions of life.
Oh, my God.
That might be the corniest sports quote ever, except for that one time when Ben Hockman asked his dad if Ozzie Smith got his feelings hurt.
I was 7.
The one thing about recruiting that always fascinates me, and actually I think is a cool contrast, maybe, I don't know, Dave, if you agree with this or not, between like Pinkel and Odom was, you know, Pinkel may not have always gotten like the high-end, heady recruiting class, but he would take the 3 stars and they would, over time, develop into the equivalent of 5 stars, whereas a 5-star recruit would go to some school and just stay there, stay at that level. They coached him up. I mean, I always wonder, is there any kind of like post-ranking of these guys? Like, what does a coach do with these actual recruits? Isn't that a bigger deal than how many stars they have coming out of high school?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Bill Snyder philosophy. If you look at Kansas State's recruiting rankings, they are always way down in the 50s or 60s. They're never impressive at all. And you know, he wins 8 games every year, and every couple of years contends for the Big 12. And Gary Pinkel, I think, did that to some degree. Now, they chased the 5 stars when they were in state or when they were when they think they had a shot at them. But by and large, his best players or a lot of his really good players were fairly under-recruited. I went back and looked just 10 years ago, just arbitrarily picked 10 years ago, look at the 2007 class. Missouri's 5 like highest rated guys, only one of them really did much of anything. One guy played one game. One guy was a JUCO transfer, best JUCO D lineman in the country. He never even got on the field at Missouri. Whereas their lower rated guys in that class, one of them was Andrew Gashkar, who became an all Big 12 linebacker and still plays in the NFL. They had a 4-year starting left tackle, Elvis Fisher in that class, who nobody was talking about on signing day. So yeah, when you look back, a lot of those times those rankings aren't all that accurate. I think they provide a fairly decent snapshot. Like the teams that win national championships are signing the 4- and 5-star guys, but you can still have success. You can still win 8, 9, 10 games without having to rely on getting all those that kind of talent.
Good stuff, Dave. We appreciate the insight, and we might not have a show for it, but we'll still call you and ask you questions and talk
good.
To stuff.
I won't change my number or anything.
All right. Well, if you do, just let Chris know. He can pass along. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Bye.
It's Dave Matter joining us here on the.
I really appreciated the. No. I just really appreciated the chance this radio show has afforded me to meet Dave.
Yeah. That's true. It's the first time you ever got to talk
to
him.
M-A-D-D-E-R, right?
Dave Matter. M-A-D-D-E-R.
I feel like you're getting Dave Matter and Matter about the gold thing.
The more I was gonna bring it up and let it go, but he keeps bringing it back. That's Rick Gould. I'm Ben Fredrickson alongside Benjamin Hockman. Chris Gardner here. Haircut. The degenerate is in the building.
Woo! I wonder what that smell was.
We're gonna talk some Super Bowl prop bets. Make some predictions here next. You're listening to the Riders Block presented by Bud Select. You're listening to the all new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com.